Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
Today's episode is all about body image. Now, when I read these words or when I say those words out loud, there are a few things that come to mind, and you probably yourself sat there at home listening might think of these things as well. So you have things like your mental state, the physical body and how you see yourself. Is there self-doubt within you and confidence? So these are the kind of things that we're going to talk about in today's episode. And I also just wanted to give you a slight definition as well. And I think there's actually so many different definitions of body image. This isn't just like, this isn't the be all end all definition. It's just something that we have picked out. I think Ben also has a slightly different definition that he'll share. But body image is a person's perception of the aesthetics or sexual attractiveness of their own body. It involves how a person sees themselves compared to the standards that have been set by society. And I think what's important to note there is the standards set by society in terms of comparisons and things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to, before we kick off, you know what time it is.
So actually, it's not a Monster today.
It's the same thing because it's owned by Monster. It's a company called Reign.
They are incredible. They're actually well nice. I've got like six different flavors that I've been testing and trialing, and wow, I will agree.
But yeah, today's episode kind of came about from, we took some time away last week and went to Barcelona for a week, just completely chilled out, stopped work completely, had some time away, had some time to rest and recover, and we were lying on the beach on the second or third day, I think, and we were kind of like looking around. I'm one of those people who, when you're on the beach, I gawp at people. Like, I just stare, I'm nosy, I like to see what people are doing. And to the point where the other person's just probably looking at me, looking at them. And then I switch on, like, shit, I'm staring at someone. And we kind of had this discussion that we'd speak about body image. And we had a look around. It's fascinating being on the beach because I probably saw more skin on that bar on the beach than I did on Red Tube when I was a kid.
Hilarious.
Honestly,
I don't know what Red Tube is. I feel like I'm too young for that.
Oh, piss off. Of course you do.
No, I don't.
Don't lie to the people. They know. Everyone knows what fucking Red Tube is. If you had to take a stab in the dark, what would Red Tube be? Don't air. You know what it is.
I don't know. Next.
But you see a lot of different shaped people. You see a lot of different people. You see a lot of different ethnicities, skin colours, people who wobble in different places. And you see a lot of people who own a different level of confidence when you're on the beach. And it's quite easy to see. So this is why I wanted to speak about this topic today anyway. And just whilst we're on that note, I just want to say thank you to everyone who voted for us in the BBC Podcast Awards. Unfortunately, we didn't win our category, but we will win it next year.
100%.
So, what does body image mean to you? I think that's an important question. I know Lucy's just reeled off a definition, and there's a lot of different definitions of body image, and I'm sure it means something different to every single one of us, but I've just pulled this up from Google because everyone knows that Google is the shit. And the quote that I pulled up is, body image refers to a person's emotional attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions of their own body. It's been defined as the multifaceted psychological...
I think it's multifaceted.
Multifaceted.
I don't know.
Psychological experience of embodiment. Body image relates to what a person believes about their appearance and how they feel about their body.
Do you know what's really interesting about what you said there at the start of the beach conversation? What was really weird is me and Ben spent the day at the beach. I was like admiring Ben because I thought he looked amazing, and he said he did the same to me. But when we were both leaving, I was a little bit down, and Ben was like, what's wrong? I was like, I just felt really like unconfident. Like, it's the first time I've been on a beach since Australia. I just didn't feel myself. I felt really weird. And Ben was like, oh my God, I felt the exact same. I felt like I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel confident within myself. And me and Ben work so damn hard. Like, we're in good shape, and we can quite happily say that that's not an egotistical thing. We just work really hard. and we were probably the least confident people on that beach. I wouldn't lie on my stomach because I didn't want my bum to be out. And it was just really weird that we had this poor perception of our own body image when we're people who share our bodies on social media. And it was really weird because we hadn't spoke about it the whole day, but we left and we were like, oh my God, snap.
I didn't feel I was to the point that you were at with it.
No, you weren't.
I'm not really that arsed. I mean, there's a little part of me that is always probably going to be there, like there is for most people, but I wouldn't say I was an unconfident person when I'm on the beach. But I'll refer back to this a future point in the podcast, because I've made some show notes about this and the analogy that I gave you on the day, which I think kind of changed your perspective on it and how you felt about yourself. So we'll talk about that in the future of the podcast. But there's a bit that I want to firstly just pick apart from the definition that I've just reeled off, because I believe the definition, as I said, can be very subjective. The way that we all see our body is very different. So for example, I can wake up in the morning and see a big fat tosser staring back at me in the mirror with skinny calves and wide hips, whilst someone else might look at me and think, fucking hell, you're absolutely shredded, mate. Now, this is very much down to perception. And that's why, again, it comes back to that point of comparison, which a lot of stuff does. We always compare ourselves to other people, mm-hmm. which then makes ourselves our own biggest critique. And we always look at ourselves through other people's eyes. And a lot of the time, it's not even a realistic point of view, or it's not even what other people are thinking of us. It's something that we've made up in our head because we're listening to that negative voice in our head that tells us that we're shit, we're not good enough, we're fat, we don't deserve to be there. And that's why it can be so subjective and vary depending on how we're feeling.
Yeah, I definitely think with, in terms of like comparison things as well, it gets more prominent as you age, because not like age, but like as you get older, because you become more aware of your own body and then also other people's bodies around you. And this is obviously normal because you have different hormones that are releasing, things are changing in your life. And when these things start to happen, you do and you can become quite self-conscious and very aware of your own body image. Now, I think with the comparisons, and this is what I believe anyway, definitely started to stem from social media a good 2 to 3 years ago, because I know that I was the person who, and I think a lot of girls will relate to this, they started to compare themselves to those zero size models in America, and everyone's like, oh my God, what is size zero? Oh my gosh, you can't be a size four, you have to be a size zero. So I think that's where people started to compare themselves to like models and people who were like amazing, and they were really like, not preached, but everyone looked up to this size zero model. And for me, mentally, that really affected me, and it bounced back like there was a mirror, and I was looking at my own body image, looking at myself and thinking, oh my God, I'm not size zero, so how do people perceive me? And I think it has got better. I do feel like that isn't as prominent now, and I feel like a lot more people are very accepting with their bodies and their self, and we are going to go on to talk about this, but definitely social media is something in there that kind of, I think it puts up a mirror to a lot of people, so they start to look at themselves in comparison to other people when you're all on your own journey. Like, me and Ben aren't even on the same journey. Everyone's on their own separate chapter and their own separate journeys anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's why it's important to discuss one of the other words that's in that definition of body image, and that's belief. Because if we believe that we look a certain way and we confirm and conform that ourselves constantly, of course, that's not only what we're going to see, but it's also what we're going to become. Now, I'm reading this book at the moment, which people probably see me post on story, and it's called You Are a Badass. And it's reaffirmed for me the power of thought and the use of affirmations. Like, if I want to be confident, then I need to act that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a massive believer in the whole fake it before you make it. But at the same time, you have to tell yourself you are something before you can become it, or before it can happen. Because we often delay our lives because we demand to see the evidence that we are great before we choose to do anything about it. So instead, we have to change what's going on between the ears, so what's going on in our brain first, and then the evidence will appear of how epic we are, or how good we look, or how our body image is actually positive, but we just create something else in our head because we're waiting for someone else to tell us that it's great, or we're waiting for someone else or some kind of evidence to show us how good we look. And that's why I think that the key part of that term and that definition is belief and believe, because you need to believe that you are something.
I think that's one of those things as well, and we spoke about this with Corey in the podcast, is if you, so kind of like the opposite of what Ben said, if you're telling yourself you can't do something mm-hmm. or you are not something, you won't be. Like if you tell yourself so many times, oh, I don't go to the gym, like, oh, I wish I could, but I don't really go to the gym, I don't really have time, you're not going to fucking go. You're not going to do it. If you constantly say to yourself, I can do this, I am this, you physically say you are this, well, you're going to do it, and you're going to have that self-belief, which is, I think, something that's really important. Quite a lot of people are quite harsh on themselves when they feel like they can't tell themselves they are something. And I'm actually reading a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is fantastic. And I was reading something this morning. This isn't necessarily to do with body image, but it's more like what Ben was saying about the affirmations and the self-doubt. And this is basically where the guy in it, Richard, is his name Richard?
Yeah. I feel like he just made that name up.
Yeah, I think his name's Richard. He teaches classes, and he always said how sad it is where he can see people who know the answer, but because they're so scared to be judged by getting the wrong answer, they don't even try. Like, they don't even put their hand up. They don't even ask a question. And that makes them, well, the way he put it, they will lose eventually because they're not putting themselves out there and they're not being bold. And bold is beautiful. It's a nice way of putting it. Being bold and being out there and having affirmation within yourself is a really amazing thing to start doing.
Well, that's a good example, is confidence, because people who want confidence are always looking for evidence first to back up what they're doing, and then they believe that they'll become confident. So, for example, those people who didn't put their hands up, if they probably got a couple of answers right, then it would give them evidence that they are good mm-hmm. enough, or that they are knowledgeable, and then they would then be confident. But instead, to become confident, you've got to take action. And yeah. I think that's a big problem with a lot of people, is that they're looking for that evidence first that they are good enough or that they are something before that, then they then take action. It's got to be switched in reverse. It's got to be flipped on its head for you to then believe it. I think that it's so powerful. And I know a lot of people think it's fardy-dar and bullshit, but affirmations are so, so powerful, and something that I've massively taken away from that book. And it's something that I think it's in The Secret, isn't it? About affirmations and mm-hmm. believing that you are something. And I remember...
Well, it's when you envision something, isn't it, with The Secret, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I remember our friend James Smith, who was talking about it with regard to speaking events. And James is obviously a very good speaker, but in some of his talks, he's saying he's still shit scared of doing it. But he told himself that I am like a world-class speaker. I am good enough, even though he'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to tell yourself that, otherwise you will just pull yourself apart by these internal voices that tell you that you aren't good enough. And you will always live up to that. And I think because that's what you're always thinking and you're always believing, your life is then geared up to that path to become that. And you will subconsciously do everything in your power within your daily tasks and within your life mission to become that. And no matter how far away that might be, you might have a long dream to one day be sitting, I don't know, in your bikini, sipping margaritas with Beyonce. And if you gear up your whole life to do that, I'm sure at some point that you would get that down the line, and it cross over and it'd align.
Yeah, definitely. There is a topic that I also wanted to touch on, and it intertwines with everything we've just spoke about. And I didn't really know how to explain it. And I think some people will definitely take this the wrong way, and it's not intentional. That is yourself if you take this the wrong way. But it's the rise of the body confident influencer. And some of you might switch on straight away to understanding what this is and what I mean. But basically, this is a topic or a thing that I see a lot on social media. And what I mean is, people started to bring attention to things such as hip dips and cellulite and love handles. And look, I have rolls when I bend over and I have stretch marks. And they're posting things saying to people, don't worry about any of these things. They're completely normal. But what I think actually happened is, when these body confidence influencers started to post about it, it made people more self-aware that they had those things. When that didn't need to happen, like, cellulite is normal. It is completely normal. Stretch marks normal. I have them. I think literally so many women have them. But because these influencers started to bring light to them, I think it made people more self-conscious of what they had, because people were making a point that they had cellulite. And for me, I just can't get my head around it. I'm like, why bother bringing attention to something that is completely normal? Like, it's like it's been kind of like glamorized. Like a it's like glamorizing your freaking elbow. Like, look, I have an elbow. Here's a photo of my elbow, when everyone has it, and it starts to bring attention in the wrong ways. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to explain?
I think it's really difficult, that one, because like the it's either, well, you talk about it, or it's kept in the closet and people don't talk about it, and it becomes a bit of a stigmatized thing. So I do get it. And I think it's like, it falls into a category that needs to be spoken about in a certain way. But then it's dependent on what point you're up to in your journey, whether you have the mental capacity to take that in at that time. Like, there's going to be some people who view my account who aren't ready to take in my content because it makes them feel bad.
Mm.
And I always say to people, if anyone's content makes you feel bad, then unfollow them.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of falls into one of those categories. But I think there are some people who use that kind of cellulite stretch marks in just for attention. And I know,
yeah, in the wrong way.
People talk about it to get attention because they know it's a popular topic. And again, I know Darren spoke about this before quite a lot with some of the people he spoke with. And they use it to get likes. They use it for attention. They use it so people can comment on things like, oh, you're so fucking amazing, just because they spoke about it. And they're not talking about it because they genuinely want to help people. They're talking about it because they genuinely want to boost their own ego.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to know. And what I just want to say to you women who are listening is it's normal. Like, you don't need to kind of worry about those aspects of your body that you've kind of always had. And when adolescence happens as a woman, it's just completely normal. Like, yeah, I've got stretch marks and cellulite, and I can bunch my rolls together on my thighs and sit down and my legs touch. But it's normal. And I don't want you guys to kind of like worry about something like that, because I think a lot of body image issues do stem from that. You'll stand in the mirror at home and you'll pinch your fat together, being like, just doing all these things, and it's like, don't compare yourself to these things on social media that are actually making you feel worse about yourself. Mm-hmm. And be proud of the body you are creating. And I say creating because it's a continuous process. Yeah. I'm creating a body, Ben is, my sister is, my clients are. It doesn't matter if you're on chapter one of chapter 50, you've started, and that's the main thing. Like, I could be on chapter 25 of 50, and I've still got 25 more chapters to go. So I think that's where it's important not to compare yourself to where other people are on social media.
Yeah.
I think that's just a really important thing to take away.
Again, that part of the transformation and moving through that process comes back to that definition that we just started with. And another part of that definition included the terms emotional attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional attitude is kind of like the relationship we hold with ourselves. So if this relationship is poor, of course we're going to see ourselves as a big useless pile of shit. And if you're emotionally low and have little confidence and don't see how great you actually are, no matter what your body fat percentage is, you're never ever going to change. And that's why body image and body confidence for me must come before the physical transformation, or you will never be enough when you do get to your goal weight or your ideal composition, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this now relates to what we've been talking about, the start of the conversation when we were on that beach in Barcelona, and our own personal experiences. And for me, this is something that my own body confidence has come on more and more. And this is the reason why we produce this podcast, because when we were both lying on that beach in Barcelona, I'm still not 100% confident in my body and the way that I am. And I think it's something that you're always developing throughout your life. It's not something that you go, there's a switch that just flicked and now I'm fucking uber confident and I can strut around in my mankini on Barcelona Beach. It just doesn't work that way.
Not.
But what me and Lisa were speaking about when we were on that beach in Barcelona last week was that sometimes that when I was looking around that beach, there was some people who a little bit larger, some people who are really slim, some people who were different shapes, different sizes, some people who were really built, some people didn't give a shit, some people were hairy, some people were hairless. And all those different people had different levels of body confidence. You could see that within them and how their body language was and how they acted on the beach. And to be honest, if you probably looked around, the people who had the most confidence and the most confidence in themselves were probably the people who were a little bit larger, the people who had a little bit more jiggly bits, the people who had some bingo wings, a bit of man boobs, a bit of lower belly fat, a bit of back fat. They were the people who were probably most confident. And I believe that sometimes the reason for that is that for us who are in the fitness industry and for those people who are on a journey to better themselves and better their bodies, it's just because you're more aware of it. And because you're more aware of what you look like, often it makes you less confident in what you're currently rocking. And I gave you this analogy, didn't I, with the car analogy?
Yeah.
I think it was a bit of a weird one. I don't even know where this came from. So I said to Lucy, for example, if you worked for Lamborghini, I think I said it was, the car company, and you started to drive to work every day in your Vauxhall Corsa, and you pulled up in the car park, and other people were probably behind your back like laughing at you because they were pulling up in their Lamborghini, and you just went arse, you're quite happy just pulling up in your Vauxhall Corsa, because you don't know anything about cars, let's be honest, do you? I'm not insulting your knowledge or experience of cars, but because you don't have any awareness about cars, you don't give a shit about pulling up in your Corsa and parking next to a Lamborghini. But if you had more awareness of that specific subject or that field, or more specifically cars, then you're probably more aware and you're probably less confident about pulling up in your Vauxhall Corsa. And I think it's the same with your body. When you're more aware of yourself and others, then you're often more critical of what you own and what you have, because you're comparing it to other people or what's expected as like a society and the norm. And that's why sometimes when you're on the beach, I've been on beaches before where, and this again isn't me being egotistical, I've probably been in the best shape or the best person in shape on that beach, but I'm certainly not the most confident. Because you constantly believe that you're not enough, or you're not good enough, or you could be a little bit better. Well, no one really gives a shit if you're a little bit less body fat. No one cares. You still probably look fucking epic.
Yeah, I literally think that's like the biggest takeaway when Ben said that to me when we were in Barcelona. Like, I was literally like, I would not get up off the beach. I was just led there. I was like, oh, I feel really like, really self-conscious, Ben. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And that is because I'm so aware, like as a coach, just with my nutrition, with everything, like I'm very, very aware. And you could probably tell that I was very not happy on that beach. I did not feel happy. I didn't feel myself. And there was a group of girls next to me who were like laughing and giggling, and they were having the best time. And I was like, why don't I feel like that? That is so weird. And I think that's really important for us to say and be transparent with you, that even though you can look up to some people and like really aspire to them and their confidence, you just have to remember that everyone goes through different stages of confidence and how they feel and how they portray themselves. And I always think, like Ben said at the start, you don't just get confidence. It's something you have to work on. Definitely. And you have to build, and it grows and it develops. And some days you'll wake up, like the day after the beach, we were on the pool in our hotel, and I felt amazing. I felt really good in myself, and I was in my bikini. I was like, yeah, I love this. Should we get some photos? I felt really good. And it kind of just shows literally what a day can do as well. Like, sometimes you can wake up and be like, oh my God, I feel horrendous. And the next day you're like, yes, I feel like Wonder Woman. This is amazing. So I think it's never a linear journey with body image.
That's why it comes back to that definition, because it comes down to your belief, your mood, and your emotional attachment to your body at that time. And that's why it can always be so different depending on those. And the other thing that I want to touch on, one of the big things is with body image, that we often feel like the least confident in these two scenarios. And one of them is obviously in front of other people. Mm-hmm. So it depends who you're in front of. And two is often with the less clothes that you have on, or less clothes than usual. Now, if we look at these two perspectives, or these two scenarios logically, imagine no one else was there. And I've spoken about this before. Imagine you're the only person on earth, and you just walked out in your bikini, or your speedos, or your budgies.
If
you're on Barcelona beach, then completely bollocko. And you probably wouldn't give a shit, because there's no one else there to compare yourself to. There's no one else to think, they've got eyes on me, they're criticizing me, they think I look like this, or they think I look like a piece of shit. So if you can get into that mindset of nobody else is even there, no one else has even existed, so there's no one I can create this idealistic look from, because I'm the only person who's ever existed, so I am the idealistic look, then you won't give a shit. I know that is difficult. I've spoken about this before, but you can start to really envision that. It's very powerful in building more confidence for you. And then secondly, I would say at least 95% of the time, especially if you're in the UK, for guys, we have a t-shirt on. And women aren't walking around in bathing suits, let's be honest, are they?
Yeah, hoodies and joggers. Exactly.
Now, I know for other countries, this may be slightly different in terms of percentage, but if this is your main concern, the majority of the time, that tiny bit of waist wobble, lower back fat, or tummy overhang will never, ever be seen. So stop worrying about it. It's like, as a guy, worrying about someone seeing your cock. Unless you're swinging it around outside your local, no one's ever going to see it, are they? Are they, though?
I can't relate.
But they're not, though, are they?
No, they're not.
So I'm not saying the answer to body confidence is simply to ignore it or cover yourself up, but
it's acceptance.
I am just saying, if you are living your life in fear of others' opinions or taking your kit off, don't be, because the odds are heavily in your favour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And we also wanted to give you some ways in terms of, I guess, improving your body confidence and body image. Now, a lot of people feel insecure about the way they look at some point in their lives. I mean, like I said, you can go up and down day to day. It's not very linear. And it's really important to remember that there isn't a single type of beauty. And everyone sees it differently. So how I see it, how Ben sees it, how your mum sees it. And there isn't simply a right or a wrong way to look. And if you are struggling, there are some tips that we can give you. But I think Ben wants to go into something first, really quickly, just about the personality traits.
Yeah, so there's a bit that I want to touch on about the whole perfectionism and self-criticism. And again, this comes back to that being overcritical can also influence the development of negative internalized image of your body. And this is something that is huge in the fitness industry, and why people who look after their bodies are generally the ones who have the least confidence and poor body image and awareness, which you've been speaking about. And it's something that you've got to think about, is my perfection of beauty distorted from being on social media and being exposed to stuff for years and glorifying that thin ideal or unrealistic person to obtain a healthier version of yourself? And do you find yourself often criticizing your own appearance? And what is your relationship with the scales? And this is why, for sometimes with me and Lucy, we're clients and people that we work with on a one-to-one basis. I know particularly through lockdown, I've probably discouraged 50% of my clients to stop weighing themselves because they rely so heavily on their own self-worth and their own body image on the scales. And for some people, it's needed. We need that metric, we need that measure to measure themselves on a weekly basis, because otherwise, through body images, they wouldn't see enough change and they wouldn't see the results coming in. But for some people, unless you are, what's the word I'm looking for? Unless you are confident, unless your self-esteem isn't based, apologies, on that number, then you probably need to leave that metric alone. And this comes into, quite fittingly, another part of self body image, and it's a term that's called self-objectification. And this is when people view themselves as objects for use instead of as human beings. And it's constantly viewing ourselves through other people's eyes. Now, just to give a bigger picture on how this affects life and how this can often decrease our standard of living or performance, it's actually been shown that if we self-objectify ourselves, then it can often lead to less performance in the gym because we're constantly worrying about what other people are thinking of us. It can often lead to decreased results when it comes to, like, tests or results or doing any type of task. So if you think of yourself, for example, when you're probably doing a presentation in uni, if you were constantly worrying about what other people are thinking of you instead of thinking about the delivery of that topic, your performance probably suffered as a consequence of it.
Yeah, because you waste so much time and energy
exactly
thinking about what these hundreds of other people staring at you in a classroom are thinking of you, rather than focusing on yourself. And that's exactly the same in the gym. If you're so concerned with what every single other person in the gym is doing, whilst you're about to do your squat PB, you're probably going to not get that squat up, or you're going to fall, or you're going to injure yourself because you're so concerned with what other people might think. Oh, she's not doing it right. Oh, yeah. She's doing this. Oh, she can't lift that. She can't do this. Like, who gives a fuck about what they say? You've got to focus on yourself.
Yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head there with mental energy. You can exert so much energy from just being in your own head about shit. And the mental energy that you waste with your body or worrying about what other people think, especially in the gym, this leads into another thing that we've been talking about before we kicked off the podcast. Yeah. And it's muscle dysmorphia is the actual term for it. But it's often known as bigorexia. And it's more so something that guys suffer with. And I think even at a certain point in my life, I've suffered with it. I just didn't know what it was. And it is actually an anxiety disorder which causes someone to see themselves as small despite being bigger or more muscular. And the condition can affect men and women, but it's mainly reported as affecting males. And it's sometimes described as reverse anorexia. So I remember when I was first starting in health and fitness, and I would have to eat like every 2 hours. I'd have to make sure, you know, like for example, I know from speaking to some clients, they constantly hated the feel of being full or being bloated, or they preferred like they felt like a bit empty.
You loved it.
I had to be full all the time. I had to feel full. If I felt hungry, that was, oh, it's muscle wastage. It's going to be eating away at my muscle. So it's a reverse of anorexia. You constantly want to be full. You constantly want to feel big. And stats have shown that this affects that 1 in 10 guys who go to the gym. So that obviously that number is quite high. That's 10% of people of guys who are currently training. And for some men, muscle development is such a complete preoccupation that they will miss important events, continue training through pain, and it's shown to even that they'll lose jobs rather than interrupt their physical development schedule. So for me, this comes back to when I was at university, and in my final year, I basically completely fucked off every lecture. I didn't study. I was doing a 16-week transformation. I was doing my first men's physique competition, which I never did again, by the way. But I wasted my complete final year in uni because I was so obsessed with looking a certain way, developing my body, and getting this end result ready for the competition. And I threw everything away in aid of that end goal, which is pathetic, really, when you think about it. And that's why it is classed as an obsessive compulsive behavior. And the effect of the media putting the same type of pressure on men to conform to an ideal shape has been the case for women for years, I believe. Women, I think, have been suffering from this idealistic and what you should look like and what beauty tells you you should be. Whereas I feel like it's becoming more and more of an issue for men, and men just don't know how to deal with it because it's so new to us and we've never experienced this before. We've never had to think about, oh, we should look a certain way, because I think if we go back in time, it was when you were getting ready, oh, guys, quickly slap on a bit of a aftershave on the chops, quickly skim around the face with the old razor. If you were going out on a whim a little bit, you'd shave the pubic area just to shaping things up a little bit. Bit of manscaping, so to speak. Whereas women have to do this whole rigmarole, and I fully understand it because I watch Lucy do it on every weekend if we're going to go out. And I think that pressure is quite new to guys, and we're not very good at dealing with it. And as human beings, I think as guys, we just have this ego, which means we suppress the way we feel a lot of the time, and we don't ever really deal with it. So I think it's something that we need to talk about more. And there was actually even a research which has been undertaken by, I think it was an organisation called Pope, and they found that the study was done on 2,000 people, and it found that men even avoided sex with their wives in case they used up energy they could have applied to bodybuilding. Now, obviously this is extreme, and you've got to be a fuckwit to put a couple of dumbbell curls over having a good bit of rumpty pumpty, haven't you? But this is how far this is how far, and I'm not teasing, this is how far it's got for some people. And people often develop this thing of bigorexia through previous experiences in life. They've been taunted, teased, so on. And again, I can come back to the story from me personally, and I know she didn't do it by any bad means, but it came back to when I was younger with my mum. And I told this story before, but when I came down that, what was it called? The Nike Pro Tops. And I thought, I looked like Ronaldo. And I was like, yes, I fucking look belted in this Nike Pro Top. And I was laughed at by my family. My mum said, look like a bag of bones. Mm-hmm. I think that's where my journey obviously stemmed from. And that became like the bigorexia thing for me, because I always thought of myself as really skinny. And I always wanted to be bigger and always wanted to be bigger. And you never stop wanting to be bigger until, like, I don't know, you really realise that it's becoming harmful to you, your own mental health and well-being.
I feel like there's always one thing that sticks with people that kind of stems their journey. And mine was similar to Ben's, where someone said something to me. And we all used to have to get our body fats measured when we were swimmers, in front of everyone, by the way. So you'd step on the scale, you'd have your whole skin calipers done, your body fat, and mine were ridiculously low. I was just a lean little kid and pretty just tiny. And one of the girls whose skin folds were more than mine called me anorexic in front of everyone. I kind of like laughed it off, but I was in bits. And for me, I quit swimming not long after. And that's kind of where my journey stemmed from, because there's always that one thing you remember. And I never take that as a negative, because I wouldn't be where I am without that comment. So if someone says something to you, kind of use it as your fuel for fire. Mm-hmm. And take it in a different way. Don't just be offended by it.
Yeah, well, 100%. I think I was listening to a TED talk about body confidence, and that was one of the big things the lady was actually speaking about. It came from I don't know if it was professional, but high-end swimming background. Mm. That's what I was thinking about you when I was thinking about it, and how much that kind of sport, and it's similar to gymnastics, massively puts pressure on young people who are still developing. And they grow up creating a really negative association with the body, and this often leads to then some really severe consequences. And this is something that can lead to, if we don't look at ways to improve body confidence, which Lucy's going to touch on in a minute, it can lead to things which are bad ways to deal with bad. I've it's too early in the morning for me. I've lost my train of thought.
It's literally 11 o'clock.
Come on, give me. Don't do that to me. But it can often lead to ways that we negatively deal with bad body image. And that can be such things like self-harm. It can lead to eating disorders. It can lead to self-sabotage. And this is things that I've even experienced myself, and I've spoken about before, with eating disorders and self-sabotage, because you feel like you're not good enough. It's the only way that you can then punish yourself. And then another way that people will often deal with it, which is the second level, is avoidance. Or they'll adapt their lives to deal with it or dress it up. And even, do you know who even did this? Mm. Arnold Schwarzenegger even did this. And look at the body that he had. In a lot of his images, if you look back in his bodybuilding days, he would often get images taken in water and have the water go up to like knee level, because he was ashamed of his calves.
Oh, that's sad.
So it's avoidance or adaptation to life. And even someone at that level also did it because he was scared of what other people would think and what his ideal should actually be. And I think the avoidance and adaptation is something that we all do on a day-to-day basis. Like, if you walk out the house, or if you're sat here now, or if you're sat with other people, what is like something that you always are doing? And I think it's relevant for us being on camera a lot of time, is that you'll go out, like you pull your top down a little bit. For girls, you might move the dress around a little bit. You may move the position of your top because you feel like you look fat. You may hold your head up a little bit higher because you're worried about your double chin. You may tuck or untuck your top at certain times. We all do things, I think, to adapt to make ourselves look certain ways, because we're constantly thinking about our body image and what other people may think about that. And now, moving forward and creating more positive body image has to come from the point of view that our bodies don't just have to look good. And I know Lucy's going to start touching on some of these points now.
Yeah, so these are kind of just ways to improve your body confidence and your body image. And they're just like little tips, because I think it's hard when people overwhelm you with things to do, because you won't end up doing anything because you feel so overwhelmed. But the first one, quite simply, is be kinder to yourself. And you have to try and not compare yourself to the many, many images that we do see online. as, like I said before, every single person is on their own individual journey, doing something that they enjoy, doing something at different stages to anyone else. Now, I know it's very easy to compare on social media, but what you also have to remember is, and this is coming from someone who is an influencer, Instagram is a highlight reel, and you have to compare, you cannot compare your life to somebody's highlight reel all the time. Now, I know I post a lot of things on my story that are very, I'm very transparent because I don't like bullshit. It really pisses me off. But on my posts, I post good workouts. I post nice images because, yes, you post the things that you like. So I think it's important to not just compare yourself to those things that you see on a day-to-day basis. Now, a third thing that is amazing to do is focusing on the things that you like about yourself and focusing on those parts of your body that you work hard on, or this could even be like your skincare. Like, I absolutely pride myself and do my skincare because I enjoy it so much and I like having healthy skin. I focus on things like my bum because I want to grow big glutes. And when you start to focus things on that you like about yourself, your overall confidence will massively, massively improve more than you think. And then these little things that maybe you're not so big on, like I used to be very self-conscious about my moles. I used to kind of get bullied about it when I was a swimmer. People used to say stuff all the time and I just shrugged it off, but it was always like internal. But then there was one thing my sister said to me. She was like, I think your moles are absolutely beautiful. It makes you so unique. And then I was like, oh, okay, they're kind of cute. So you can kind of change things as you go along with your body image. Now, spending time with people who make you feel positive about yourself is really important. Like, if you surround yourself with negative people, and we've probably both done this, we've both had people who don't bring out the best in you. So don't surround yourself with people who do that. Like, I had a client who messaged me the other day and she was like, my friends think, they said I've got fatter and that I shouldn't be eating all that food. And I was like, well, get your fucking friends to talk to me then, because you're 12 pounds down, you look like a new woman, you're eating more food and you've never looked better. So things like that, never surround yourself with people who make you feel worse about yourself.
I think that's the hardest thing to do, is to cut the fat from your life, literally. And the fat isn't the fat that you own, it's the fat that you're surrounded by in terms of CUNTSs. Most of the time. And it's hard because you get a lot of those online, and it's sometimes difficult to segregate and move that away from your own life.
Yeah. So the last one kind of intertwines into one, but you also have to say to yourself, think about what advice you would give to your best friend if they told you they were struggling with the way that they look. Like, what would you say to them? So whatever you say to them, when you're starting to have like a bit of a dip in confidence or body image, or you're staring at yourself in the mirror, what would you have said to your best friend? And this is where it comes into talking to people. And if you do feel like very self-conscious or something's not quite right, or you're very anxious about your body image, just talk to someone. I don't feel like it's a topic that should be scared or you think you're going to be judged because you're talking about it. It's an open thing that so many people discuss and talk about on social media, in magazines, families talk about it, friends talk about it. It's completely normal. So I guess just don't be shy if you need to talk to someone about it.
Well, I think that's an important one, because I know we spoke about this before, and it comes back to that quote of treat your neighbor or treat others how you would like to be treated. But I think it's the opposite way around. I think we should treat ourselves how we would treat other people, because a lot of the time we treat ourselves like a pile of shit and you wouldn't treat other people like that. So you've got to take your own advice on board sometimes that you give to other people with that. And on that note of the way that we look, I just wanted to give a different perspective on body image and how our body image can be impacted. And it's got to come from the point of view that our bodies don't just have to look good. It can come from knowing our bodies are good. So for example, I don't just anymore look at myself in the mirror and go, oh, yeah, I look all right, or yeah, I look great, or today I look shit. It's coming from the fact that I know, especially when we go back to the gym, so when we're going back into the gym, I know I can deadlift my PB 260 kilos, which is fucking sick. Like, I know I can bench press 140 kilos. I know that I've hit a run time of 5K in 20 minutes before. I know that I can do 20 pull-ups in a row. And that's knowing that my body's good and my body can perform as well as just looking a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just sitting a sub 10% body fat or having biceps bigger than your thighs or having an arse as big as a rhino. That's not the be all and end all of body image. And body image is resilience and a long path and a long journey, and we must continue to work on it and not let our views be distorted by media, social media and magazines. And I really want to finish today's podcast on this important quote. And I found this quote years and years and years ago, and I think it's so relevant to body image. And it's that our body is an instrument, not an ornament. So going back to that performance element, our bodies are there to perform, mm-hmm. not just to sit there and look a certain way.
That is a beautiful quote. I was just letting that sink in because I've not actually heard that before. But it's so true. Like, our bodies are there to do things and perform. It's mm-hmm. not just how we look, and it's what you can do. And I really hope you've been able to take something away from this podcast, even if it's just one little point that you can take away. And as always, we appreciate it so much when you share the podcast on social mm-hmm. media and share it with your friends and leave us little reviews. Honestly, we appreciate it more than you ever know. And just one little thing that I wanted to remind you of is, so gyms in the UK, actually in England, I said that wrong so many times, in England, open on the 25th, and soon we will be doing our famous 8-week challenge. And this is going to be the biggest challenge yet because it is a back to the gym challenge. It won't be your usual gym challenge. We're not going to do stupid things with you like a lot of personal trainers are going to do to batter you. That's not the point. We want you to improve. It's a process. You're going to feel amazing. So if you hop over to our Instagrams at mycoachbenji or at lucydaves_fit or the My Coach School page, there is a waiting list link. I would recommend you pop yourself on so you don't miss any information, because this challenge is going to be epic.
Yeah. So it's obviously dependent when you listen to this podcast, but
oh yeah, that's true.
The waiting list will be up, and the enrollment I think is going to start on the 3rd of August. And that'll be open until we kick off on the 17th of August. So if you listen to this any later than the 17th of August, 2020, then you probably missed out. But there will be more challenges up and coming. However, this one is going to be the biggest, baddest, and best one. Yeah, because we're going to kick the shit out of the gym when it reopens again.
Yeah, and the reason the enrollment opens on the 3rd and not straight away is because we need you guys to become comfortable mm-hmm. within a gym environment again. There's no point jumping in at the deep end. You need to, because things are going to change. Mm-hmm. We need to get used to being back in that gym environment. But obviously, as always, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you in our next podcast. Bye.
Take care, guys. Have a great day.